You're listening to The Morning Magazine. I'm your host, Alexis Kenyon. For the past 17 years, climate scientists and leaders from across the globe have come together to create what they call an Arctic report card. It's an update about how the region is doing and tracks things like wildfires, major storms, or extreme temperatures. This year, Matthew Druckenmiller, a Boulder-based researcher at the National Snow and Ice Data Center, served as the report's lead author. He presented his findings from this year's report card at the annual Geophysical Union Conference in Chicago this week.
Seasons are shifting in the Arctic, altering ecological and landscape processes, and increasingly misaligning with human expectations.
Druckenmiller told colleagues that their findings this year have forced the team to reevaluate their models.
We updated the climate baseline to calculate departures from what we may call normal. Updating these baselines allows us to essentially calibrate how we assess departures from normal and to establish a new normal to compare to, understanding change is consistent.
In the last decade, studies show that climate change is warming the Arctic 2 to 3, some say even 4 times faster than the rest of the globe. The past 7 years have been the warmest Arctic temperatures on record. This year's Arctic report card shows that the region's snow season is declining about 20% every decade. John Walsh is the lead author of the Arctic report card's new chapter on precipitation. He says with longer and warmer summers, the Arctic has less ice, more water, and as a result, more precipitation. But in a warming Arctic, this precipitation is turning from what was mostly snow to freezing rain.
In a single event this past December, Fairbanks received over 1.4 inches of freezing rain. In the Arctic, these freezing rain events can be devastating, because the ice layer can persist for months. The ice remains on roads, and it can prevent foraging by wildlife until the spring thaw.
Changes in seasonal ice and warming seawaters are causing domino effects within the Arctic's food chain, starting with microscopic algae, which constitutes the base of the marine food web.
Monitoring changes in marine algae growth is important for understanding how upper levels of the marine food web, including fish, marine mammals, and seabirds, are impacted as well.
Karen Fry is a polar scientist at Clark University in Massachusetts and author of a report on primary productivity of Arctic plankton blooms. Fry says 2022 was the 6th consecutive year that communities and tribal leaders encountered higher than expected numbers of dead seabirds across Alaska coastlines.
The birds were found to be emaciated, which was the most significant factor contributing to these deaths. Seabirds and their eggs are important food for rural Alaska, and residents are concerned about the loss of these subsistence foods.
On top of warming waters and melting ice, food chains are being disrupted by shipping. Matthew Druckenmiller says as quickly as the Arctic is melting, ships from all over the world are plowing new routes through it.
This year's report details how the emergence and availability of satellite-based ship data since 2009 is helping to assess how the opening of the Arctic Ocean is driving more ships into its remote and ecologically sensitive waters.
And as damage to the natural habitat grows, rising temperatures are affecting every part of Inuit life. This year's Arctic report card ends with a chapter from and by Indigenous Alaskans. It's the most comprehensive Indigenous contribution the Arctic report card has included and looks at not just how climate change is affecting Indigenous people, but how Indigenous communities are addressing the change. Jackie Catalina Schaefer directs climate initiatives at the Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium and is one of the report's authors. Schaefer says Indigenous people have passed down knowledge about the Arctic for more than 20,000 years.
I think if everyone thought like an Inuit, you wouldn't be sad. The world and the world, the place we live in, is constantly changing. People have survived through all these changes for 20,000 years. And then we look at science, which is under 200 years old. There is hope.
As grim as this year's Arctic report card may sound, Schaefer shared this ground's eye view as a member of a directly affected community.
No one really paid attention to the Arctic or listened to the Arctic people for a multitude of reasons. We were just so far away from everything. I think now what we're seeing is a shift in the dialogue and the narrative, and understanding that even through colonization and the displacement of our people, we still adapted and survived. So we have our language, we have our traditional cultural practices, but now we've mastered the Western world as well. And so now we could share and find new spaces to co-produce knowledge systems so that the future looks different. And that to me is just simply evolution of humanity.
Schaefer says when it comes to the future of the planet, people and cultures are going to have to start working together. For KGNU, I'm Alexis Kenyon.